For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, much has been made about how the pandemic has severely hampered things like air travel, dining out, or gathering for the holidays. Something that's not been talked about as much is the chilling effect the pandemic seems to have had on adoptions and foster families here in Connecticut. According to the Connecticut Examiner, just 155 adoptions statewide were granted between March 1st and October 25th of this year, compared with 361 in the same period during 2019. To talk more about this, we have with us Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Children and Families in Connecticut, Michael Williams. Sir, do you understand those numbers I gave to be true? And if so, why are they true?
Yep, those are accurate. And it's due to the impact of the pandemic that it's having on in-person kind of activities that occur within our work, particularly court work and finalizing the adoptions. And everyone's trying to get their, you know, get a sense about themselves as the pandemic hit earlier, and we didn't know exactly what the impact was going to look like. And so we had to kind of get adjusted. So that was a big cause of it.
To be clear, has there been a drop in demand for adoptions, or has there merely been a lengthening of the adoption process?
From last year till now, the numbers are pretty much the same. It's just the slowdown due to the pandemic and the impact that it's having on our ability to finalize the permanent adoption for the children who are in homes with their pre-adoptive parents waiting for the process to finalize through the legal system and be permanently with their families.
The fact that the courts have had to largely shut down during the pandemic, how much is that the reason that this is happening?
It's one of the primary causes, absolutely. There are a lot of families, again, with children who have been living with them as a placement from us to them that were queued up to finalize their adoptions through the courts but hadn't been able to finalize due to this.
What sort of pressure is this elongation of the process? To what degree is this putting pressure on foster families?
Well, I think everyone's understanding what's going on. I don't know if it's a pressure in a sense, as much as all of us would require that children get adopted as soon as they possibly can and not spend one day longer in foster care than they have to. That is just, you know, a principle that we all agree to. But everyone's understanding that what we are in, these are unprecedented times. No one had the playbook on how to operate in this kind of environment. And so, understandably, the courts have had to make a lot of adjustments in the way they operate. So have we. We, too, have had to take some extraordinary measures that we hadn't taken before, such as stay-home orders and preventing our staff from going out and engaging in the community face-to-face due to wanting to decrease their footprints in the community and slow the spread of the infection that was occurring. Particularly in the March, April, May time frames that we saw the surge. And now with this resurgence of infections, we're having to make some similar kinds of decisions. So these are extraordinary times, and I think everyone understands, including those families, those pre-adoptive parents who are wanting to complete the process, they understand what is the delay.
Well, and, you know, the primary reason we even have this conversation is to talk about what is happening to the kids. And, you know, we've had all these edicts from the government to social distance and to take preventative measures for the pandemic. Has that put any sort of chilling effect on kids even getting into a foster home if they need it?
We've been fortunate in Connecticut. We have some amazing, amazing caregivers, foster parents, relative and kin caregivers, those who are pre-adoptive homes who have come forth. We've had kids, even those who were waiting for test results to determine whether they were positive or negative for the COVID and didn't have a place to go. And we have foster parents raise their hands and say, I'll keep the child. We've had children test positive in foster homes and not one have created a disruption where a foster parent or a caregiver has said, come and remove this child because they're positive. And we've had foster parents test positive while children were there, and they protected our children by socially, by isolating themselves in their homes and doing all the things they needed to do to assure that the child didn't get affected. So I really can't say enough about how impressed we've been with and how appreciative we've been with our foster parents, with our caregivers in Connecticut, and how they stood up. Every state can't say that, but we can proudly say that in Connecticut.
Is there a time horizon of some sort at which point, if things don't start picking up sooner, that kids are going to pass some sort of threshold where they're going to significantly suffer more?
As far as permanency through a finalized adoption, I don't think so, because a good number of those children psychologically have achieved that by being with the families that will. It's not like they're somewhere else living there and waiting to be adopted by another parent in another household, and then they go live with them. They're with the people who will adopt them, and it's just a matter of time. So the love and the care, the attachment, the emotional support, all the things that children need, those families are giving it to them, whether it's legally completed or not.
We've talked about what's going on in the courts and the slowdown there because of the pandemic, and that leads to the next question. I mean, what about programs that are designed to reunite families that have been separated due to some legal trouble, per se, on the part of the parents? Have those programs designed to reunite families been significantly impacted as well?
Yeah, those are the ones that's what's difficult for us and difficult for children and for their biological parents who, prior to or maybe even through this pandemic situation, had their children removed from them because they were not safe and had to work on their own issues and own concerns or mediate the issue that created the unsafe condition for the child to be removed or children to be removed. Now that it's done and those parents are now at a point where they can be reunified with their children and children with them, that process has been slowed up significantly due to this. And that's where we see a lot of emotional pain, some difficulties that we have to give services to for families and for children, because, of course, they all want to get back together, and we want them all to get back together. But the delay, unfortunately, due to some of our service providers who provide reunification services and even some of our own staff who facilitate face-to-face visitations with parents and children, due to stay-home orders and due to the pandemic and things having to be done virtually, it has created a delay in those processes.
The numbers that we started this interview with were from March 1st to October 25th, that time period, both of this year and last year. It's going on a month since October 25th. Have things gotten any better?
We have. We're seeing a steady incline of adoption finalizations, this being adoption month. We see more cases that are going to get finalized for adoptions than usual, than the other months at least, not usual. But we're starting to see the increase now.
Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Children and Families in Connecticut, Michael Williams, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.